and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I'm joined today by a sensible person in the form of Dave Bartley.
Hello.
And we are going to talk about Achtung Cthulhu. And how Dave is going to try and get me to roleplay again.
Woohoo!
So Dave, what is Achtung? I quite like saying Achtung Cthulhu. It's quite good, that.
It's the whole fun. It's a fun thing, isn't it? Obviously, I actually started out gaming role-playing, pretty much, back at playing D&D. But over the years, it's kind of one of the most difficult things is getting the group of people together regularly. And that's where the whole role-playing things has certainly become difficult for me as I've moved around the country a few times. It was... Early this year that something appeared on Kickstarter that piqued my interest, and that was Achtung Cthulhu by the Modiphius Group. And basically, it's a role-playing setting, as the title probably tells you. It's what would happen if Cthulhu was actually at the heart of World War II, and what would happen, the Allies and the Axis forces were actually, while they were fighting each other, there was actually factions within them searching the occult at the same time.
Should we quickly explain what Cthulhu is?
We probably should. Cthulhu is this mythos. Name now is going to escape me. Mr. Lovecraft.
H.P. Lovecraft.
Yes. Yes. And it's very weird, very occult, quite dark.
Yeah. Lots of very, very dense short stories with very interesting use of prose that Lovecraft used.
It's lasted the test of time, and it's certainly inspired a whole host of games over the years, both role-playing and board games, a few miniature games, not massive amount, although that's starting to change a little now, is it not?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I played the Call of Cthulhu RPG a long time ago. Mm. When GW published a hardback version.
Yeah, I've certainly played that game.
Which was a very nice hardback, actually. It's one of those games where you're not going to survive till the end.
No, part of the key mechanic of the whole Cthulhu thing is obviously you're playing a group of investigators that may or may not know much about this whole occult world. But as you progress through the adventures, you find things out, and unfortunately that affects your sanity. So eventually you are going to either die to some horrible gribbly monsters, or you're going to go insane. So it does put a fixed sort of time limit virtually to a certain extent on the game itself, which is an interesting mechanic within a role-playing game, and certainly allows players to, if they want to, as they become slightly unhinged, to go off and role-play that as they see fit.
No, I mean, it's certainly a lot of fun. So this Achtung Cthulhu was a Kickstarter, yeah?
Yep, it was a Kickstarter. Chris Birch from the Modiphius Group. I think I've done quite a lot of work for it already, but actually searching for a way to actually get product out to customers. And Kickstarter funded May this year. Oh, that was last update, sorry. Funded in April 2013. So about a year ago. In that time, they have shipped everything that they said they were going to ship. That's the core. So in print, you've got an investigator's guide or a player's handbook. You've got a keeper's guide, which is the dungeon master's guide. And then several other PDFs at the minute of a couple of adventures. And they're also going to be doing expansions for how the war progresses in the Pacific and the Far East and in Africa. Because the core books themselves cover the Northwest theatre of the Second World War and how Cthulhu fits into that.
And it's not a role-playing game itself, is it? It's just a setting.
At the core, it's a setting in the core rule books, which you buy, it's for two games. It's for the Call of Cthulhu, which has carried on from the GW. I can't remember who publishes it now, but it's certainly available in hardback and in PDF. And the other system that's in the core rulebook is Savage Worlds, which is a pretty fast play role-playing system that the core rules are system agnostic, and you hang whatever setting you feel like onto this core set of rules. And they are nearly completion for a third set of rules. They're actually doing a supplement for the Fate roleplay system, which I know little about, to be fair. But again, I think that's more of free form. So not particularly rigid in its thing. I think it allows more free-form role-playing, from what I understand.
Okay, so the Savage World stuff, I mean, before we go back to... Because I'd not heard of that one until you mentioned it to me the other day. Mm-hmm. So this is basically just a set of rules for role-playing whatever you decide you want to role-play.
Yeah.
And you can bend them to that.
Yeah, there are supplements written for, if people remember, Deadlands, which is Weird West game.
Is that the TSR one?
TSR did a miniature add-on to it. I think the original role-playing game came from a company called Pinnacle, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay.
So that's there. There's also a post-apocalyptic version around the same sort of ideas that can hang on. There's a fantasy system that you could hang on. But basically, it's coming up with traits and rules. But the core of the system stays the same, so that you're always playing the same core role-playing system, and you're just hanging on the setting, which will add attributes and remove attributes as you like.
Okay.
Which is kind of the way a lot of role-playing systems are going these days. You get these core mechanics, such as Savage Worlds, Fate, and then everyone's producing supplements for them. Probably something that started in the D20 days, when that system came out.
Okay, but it's a true role-playing game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a true role-playing game.
Rather than a World of Warcraft clone
played
on the tabletop.
Yeah, I mean, you can play this game without any miniatures whatsoever. Play it all in your mind. Wonderful, hey?
I don't know if my mind will be up to it, but...
I suppose as it's Cthulhu-based, that could be quite dangerous.
Oh, yeah. we will give it a go. If we take it back to Hatching Cthulhu, so you're a team of investigators. Can you play Nazi investigators hunting for treasure, or are you allies?
The game expects you to play from the allied side. There are some hints in there talking about playing as Axis characters, but generally they would suggest that either you're playing a double agent or you're playing as a person that's been moved over and is now working for the allies. Because that way you've sort of got the dual protagonists then that you're always playing against. Because while you've got the World War and you've got the Axis powers in that, you've then got that other sub-level of the Cthulhu, and the monsters are actually coming out from that side. So it's probably easier from a certain point of view if your players are playing allies and the Axis are, however horrible it sounds, the bad guys to a certain extent. Although obviously as the game's going on, the actual World War II aspect of that will become less and less as the investigators dig deeper and deeper into the Cthulhu mythos.
Okay. So are you in Britain or are you in occupied territories?
It really doesn't. You can play it as whichever period of the war. I mean, the books are basically a source book, and they cover the whole gamut of the World War. So you could be playing in any actual active theatre. But there's also enough information in the book to allow you to play in the home front. So you could be playing in America in sort of 1940s.
Oh, okay.
And you could actually be playing like a British cell that's trying to force the Americans to join the world earlier than they did, maybe. Certainly, as the source books roll out for the other theatres of war, you'll be able to move into those areas as well. So no, you don't have to be fighting on the front lines investigating things. You could be playing... on the home front, and that's really down to your group, your players, and how they want to role play and how they want to go about it. So, the whole war is the setting and the theme, but it doesn't have to be driving tanks and in planes being bombed all the time.
Okay, so how does the setting interface itself with the game? I remember back in the day there was a source book for Call of Cthulhu that moved the period of history from the 20s back to sort of 1895 Victorian time, so you could play old English, Sherlock Holmes, basically investigating
pretty much that's what that was
mythos. But that imposed itself quite heavily on the game because of the technology and thing, differences between the 20s and that time period.
I think a lot of that probably was born out of the fact that the Call of Cthulhu, the core rulebook, the rules were built into the game and they were built into that setting. When you bought Call of Cthulhu back in, when we were talking the late 80s, early 90s, it was set in the 20s and that's what the book was designed to be. So you couldn't play about with different time periods because you couldn't easily, sort of take away the gunpowder or the pistols and that thing that would be prevalent in the 20s, but less so back in Sherlock's day. So, whereas now, because it is purely a setting that's hanging on a role playing system, it's a lot easier because there's lots of other ways to interact. And the only thing they've really had to introduce and fudge in is pretty big bombs and things like that, which you may get on a battle. You know, obviously, you will get on a battlefield from now and again. They're the only things that the role playing game probably doesn't expect you to go into. So things like that they've added in. So it's not so much what, you know, how does the game interact? It's basically how they've tweaked the core rule sets to work in the theatre that you're going to be playing in.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, when you described it to me and when I looked at the rules last night, I kept on thinking sort of the start of Hellboy.
Yes.
And that whole group of people going to find it and finding Hellboy at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, certainly if that's the way, you know, again, it's down to, and that's something you always have to do with role-playing games, is pick the setting and how you're going to play with anything with the players that are going to play the game. Because if all your gamers are want to play action-based and you bring them this real cerebral puzzle, it's not going to be the most entertaining evening for anybody. So you've got to always pitch the game to the players that are playing the game.
All right, I wonder if I could play Indiana Jones.
I'm pretty sure you can. I don't think that would be particularly difficult trope to try and find in. And obviously that you've got that in the guys, how to roll up your characters and you've got all the different types of, you know, both civilian and military sort of roles are all in there. And the typical skill sets that you'll start out, which is what you do with any role-playing game. People set out with set skills and develop as they go through the games.
Yeah, I suppose you can play an early James Bond type character or the plucky Tintin even.
Tintin would almost fit in there. Biggles a bit late, but yeah, earlier on, all the way up to your mad scientist.
Yeah, but Biggles goes through an entire. I mean, yeah. Biggles doesn't age from 1917 to 1940.
He moves on.
He gets promoted,
and certainly mad scientist to a certain extent. Or yeah, scientist.
I must admit,
on the fringe.
I must admit. When I was reading it, I was looking at it and I was thinking John Pertwee, Doctor Who type character.
Yep. Yeah, all those sort of people can fit into the game. And again, it's then getting the right mix of people with the right mix of characters to not necessarily, and everyone doesn't have to have the same skill. Everyone has a niche within the group. So the group together is a balanced, covered group and not just sort of all focused on one thing, because that way the game can get a bit samey.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose you don't want four Indiana Joneses.
Not really. You can't all steal the treasure, can you?
Yeah. But, so how are you? I mean, you're going to DM in this campaign.
I am going to DM this, yes.
So how many people have you got signed up so far?
Not many. One or two. You're being one.
Woo!
Matt's possibly being two. Fewer people.
I spoke to him about it, and he said... I can give you an absolute quote. it's even clean. He said, "Defo, love to do some role play and a great period." So I think he's
in. That's clean. And I should also say that obviously, well, I said, well, the problem with role playing is getting people around a table. We're actually going to be doing this over a product called Fantasy Grounds, which is an online tabletop, which is interesting. You lose a little bit of the interaction. But it certainly allows people that, all in theory, all around the world to actually participate in your game.
Yeah, and I suppose that enables the dice rolls and stuff
to
be seen by everybody. Yeah.
Basically, it has the rule set to a certain extent with Fantasy Grounds has a Savage World add-in. So basically, a lot of the rules are in there. So when you're setting up combat, all the right dice are rolled for the right things, and it can streamline a lot of the work. And also, I can put maps in there and hide bits of it, so when you reveal bits of it as players see bits of the map. So it allows you to do all that sort of good stuff. But we should say, going back to actually the actual Kickstarter and the product, I have to say the product is wonderful product. The books themselves are not full colour, but would you want a World War II style book to be full colour?
I mean, well, especially arranged around this period, yeah. You want it to look like a old newspaper.
And certainly, all the pages are kind of, they look like the pages, loose bits of paper that have been put down, and there's paper clips all over them. And it's a really, really nice product. I have to say, they've done a fantastic production job on the books. I didn't back at a mad level because they have done various tie-ins with miniature companies. So there are Acton Cthulhu miniatures out there, and they've tied in with games companies. And they produced a bag, as they do, and patches and all that sort of stuff. I didn't go in for that. I'm basically in for all the books. But yeah, certainly for what I've paid, I think it's fantastic value for money. Even if I never play the game.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. And you will play it at least once.
Yes, I will definitely play it at least once. Unlike some of the other role-playing games that I've bought that are set on the shelf.
At least once. I really want to get back into role-playing. It's one of those things. And we had an attempt, and
we did.
It didn't work out. It could have worked out. It just, you know, schedules and personal stuff happened with the DM that meant that we couldn't play. So, you know, second attempt, I think, sounds excellent. When are we going to start?
We'll get a couple more players, and I'll flesh out some adventures, and we can then discuss what everybody wants to play, and we can get off.
Excellent.
Yeah, hopefully in the next month or two, I would suggest.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much for coming along and talking about it, Dave.
That's quite all right.
This is almost 15 minutes.
Wow.
So we've done quite well. we won't have to put, there won't be any extra alarms and things going off.
Amazing.
So once we get started, then we can come on and talk about it again.
Yep, certainly we'll come back and we'll tell us, everyone sort of say how they feel and give a bit of what's going on.
Brilliant. So until then, well, not actually until then, until tomorrow, but until then as well. I've been Mike.
I've been Dave.
We'll see you soon. Bye-bye. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're @fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.